To pray in the name of Jesus simply means that sin cannot stop this prayer from being answered. Why? Because my sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. That's why I said, if you come remembering the things you have done, you are in trouble. Because Satan will remind you of many. In fact, he won't even talk to you. He will talk to God about the ones you have not done. And God will not be able to do anything about blessing you because you are the one that started it. I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. That brother said that thing. I looked at him and I laughed. I said, if I said to him, why didn't you just start with the mercy thing? Why do you come to ask for mercy when you just need to discover that this is your law you set for yourself, which God did not set for you, you have broken it? Why? Why didn't you just start with mercy? Why didn't you just approach God? I was talking about righteousness. Righteousness means I approach God, I don't check whether I paid my tithes or not. Righteousness simply means that I don't check whether I have given or not. He said, no, supplies does not answer to prayer, it answers to seed. It's because you don't understand righteousness. Righteousness means supplies and answer to prayer. Righteousness means I recognize I'm a child of God. Are you getting my point? Righteousness means I know, I'm aware that God loves me. That's why I can walk to the tomb of Lazarus. There are those problems come up. Let's pray and I say no. Let's make it tomorrow morning. Why? I have to go hungry the night. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is a sense of unrighteousness. You think before I approach God, there are things I must do properly. I must have fasted. I must have gone to church a few times, listened to 5 tapes before I can approach. No. You see, as we go on, do you listen to tapes? Yes. It's to build the word of God into me so I can acquire wisdom. It's not a door into the throne room. I hope you are getting my point. It's not the passport for acceptance. I'm accepted with God for one reason and one reason alone. And what is that reason? Faith in Christ Jesus. Let's read this scripture. I said we should open somewhere, right? Romans chapter 1. These are the fundamentals of Christianity, which people often forget, and we have a duty to remind them. Paul was speaking here. He was talking about the preaching of the gospel, how he wanted to come and preach the Romans. From verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And that stands for the non-Jews. He said, "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith." That is, it begins with faith and it ends with faith. "As it is written, but the just," or the righteous man, "shall live by faith." That word "live" means to acquire life. It doesn't mean that a man is walking by faith. There's a difference between walking by faith and living by faith. We've discussed that before. In fact, the book, "By Faith, Acquire Life," that's what I was discussing. The fact that life comes, that's eternal life. That's what he was saying. "The just shall acquire eternal life by faith." Are you getting my point? So we're reading from that John chapter 17. It said that we may know Jesus Christ whom God sent. Are you getting my point? That is, it's that knowledge. What does it mean? Jesus came. What is the implication of that? When I wrote that book, "He That Believes," there was something I was trying to explain in the book. And that's the fact that I said faith has two sides. It's a faith is a substance of things hoped for. And the, using King James now, it says the conviction of things not seen. I said those are two sides to faith. In fact, in that book, if you haven't read it, read it now and understand this thing I'm trying to explain. That is a man who says, "I have faith." If a woman says, "I'm a believer," what does it mean? Most of the time in Christianity today, our faith is half. What do I mean by half? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen is the only half many people hold on to.
What do I mean? Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Were you there? No. You were not. You did not see it, and you are convinced. So it's a conviction of things not seen. Abraham lived like 4,000 years before that, or 2,000 years before that. Did you see it? No. But you are convinced. It's a conviction of things not seen. But there is what is called the substance of things hoped for. The word there is hope and expectation. That is, now that you are convinced about things that you did not see, what do you have as an expectation for now and for the future? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, faith that doesn't have an expectation is incomplete. And that's why you hear me preach all the time. People say that ancestral curses. I said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm going to say? So I didn't see something. All right? Jesus died and rose again on the third day. But he has produced an expectation of now in me. All ancestral curses are broken. I don't know what I heard. I said, you can't just stay with Jesus came and he died. That's half of the faith. That's why you're in bondage. You must understand that as a consequence of that death and the shedding of that blood, he washed away all ancestral curses. I was showing my wife again yesterday. We were watching National Geographic, a program. I said, look at this. He's showing mines, one particular mine in South Africa. I said, notice something. All the engineers, managers, they were white. All the miners were black. I told my wife, see, when they show men are going to work, I just see all their black faces. And then when they show, fellas, say, the way we design this mine, the way we maintain the engine, the way we do the cooling, I see all the faces white. He said, how come? I said, it's Noah's fault. It's Noah's fault. Cursed be Canaan. Yes, Canaan. A servant of servants he will be. And remember what I say all the time, which is the truth. Noah did not say, cursed be Canaan. Noah said, cursed be Ham. But Moses was giving a narrative of why they were taking the land of Canaan. Bear in mind, Canaan had three brothers. One was Put, one was Cush, and one was Mizraim. And from what I was told, Cush is the ancestor of the black people. So Noah said to them, cursed are you people. A servant of servants you will be. And that's why when you see the mine managers, they are white. The mine engineers, they are white. There are so many events playing out to bring it forth like that. And then you see the miners who are always striking for more pay. They don't own the mine, just striking for more pay. Noah has said to them, strive from now to tomorrow. You can get more pay, but you are still a servant of servants. Is that the gospel? No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is simple. Now, in Christ Jesus, the wall of partitioning between white and black, descendants of Shem, Japheth, or Ham, has been broken. A black man can be an engineer. In that mine, he can own the mine. The only reason why that happened is because of faith in Christ Jesus. That's what I preach. And that's the truth. That's the word of God. And that's why I preach to people all the time. You can become anything. Don't be content with a good job. Now, get what I'm saying? Contentment is different from what I'm talking about. But don't think that this is breakthrough. I have gotten a good job, and you celebrate it like, all my life, I never knew that the time will come, me to have any amount of money in a day. Father, I thank you. And somebody's paying it to you. You are not paying it to anybody. Rejoice that this is a phase. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Say, time will come. They will bring the checks to pay salary at the end of the month. And I'll be signing it. And I'll be paying my managers too. $1 million in a month. Are you getting my point? Dare to dream big. Jesus died so that such things will happen and happen and happen, and you won't even think anything about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That your child will come and see you
by that time you are middle-aged to an old man, maybe in your 70s, yes, an old man, and your son is going. So why are you going? I'll stay with us 2 months. They said, no, daddy, I have to get back to the office. Christmas is just around the corner. We want to make sure we're paid by the 16th, and we have to arrange all the bonuses. This time, I'm giving, that's your son, not you. Your daughter, not you, is saying that, yes, our managers, the cars we ordered as Christmas bonuses for them is about to arrive. And they say, I have to be the one to inspect and certify them. So I have to leave. That's your son. And you don't think anything of it. You don't go to church and say, praise the Lord. You see what God has done. To you, it's one of those normal things. Are you getting my point? Why will it happen? It's simple. Because Jesus died. And he rose again. And the curse, that's what I was talking about, that kept your ancestors down, he lifted it. Until you have the knowledge of that fact, you will strive and labor and labor and work for God and die again in poverty. And your children will start again. I'm sure you don't want that. Listen, God has done everything for you that he's supposed to do. Why he sent people like me is to go and tell you. He said, speak to Zion, behold your God. I think it is wrong for a Christian to be preaching, that a preacher to be preaching to Christians. Say, bend down your heads. God is angry with you. No. Lift up your head. That's my own message. You are not a slave anymore. You have been delivered. Not because of what you did. And that's what I hate this gospel of works. It's not because of what you did. It is because of what Jesus did. I'm talking about the complete faith. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. For many people, their faith is halfway. No expectation. Based on the fact that Jesus came and he died for them. So they now think that since our sins have been washed, all right? Now we are clean. So we have to now work to make tomorrow secure. Listen, let me tell you this. I don't know. It keeps coming to my mind. I think it's because of the spirit of this age, church age, I mean, not world age now. I need to break it. I have to keep saying it. There are those who are giving now. They are giving regularly. That is regular giving to Kingdom World Ministries, to their church, to anything. Why? That tomorrow, prosperity must be there. I came to announce to you today, you have been wasting your time. Let me say it again. If you have been giving so that you will prosper tomorrow, if you mistakenly heard this gospel, anyway, not even mistakenly, it's so your advantage. The time of dark blackness and blindness has passed. It's time to wake up to truth. If you have been giving because you want to prosper, hear ye the word of God. Your account is zero. What did I say? The account is zero. Nothing there. Nothing there. Wait till I talk. Nothing there. You are insulting somebody. You are insulting God. People say it's a covenant. You make it now. I say, listen. He said, God said it like this. I am the Lord. He said, the Lord thy God, I give thee what? Power to get wealth. That he might fulfill the covenant which we swore to your fathers. This is the interpretation for Christians. God is the one that's giving you the power to get wealth to prove that the gospel of Jesus is true. That's the fulfilling of the covenant. It is not that you are going to make an agreement with God. Go and read the scriptures. Nobody ever initiates a real agreement with God. If you understand it properly, what they do is to finally agree with him. So what am I preaching today? Let me talk about that prosperity a bit. You were born. That is, listen, when I say born, I don't mean your mother gave birth to you. I mean when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You know what? Remember what he said? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but do what? Have eternal life. He said, whosoever believes in him, they were saying in John chapter 1, he said, those who believe, he said, he came unto his own did not believe, receive him. But for those who received him, he gave them what? Power to become sons of God. He said, they were born not of the will of flesh, but of the will of what? God. Now listen to this. I'm telling you, you were born. Because you have believed, you passed from death into life. A man passing from death, a woman passing from death into life is being born. That's what I'm saying. And you were born to prosper. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You were born to prosper. You were born to prosper. You were born for perfect health. You were born to live long. You're not working to achieve them. We must start with this. I'm tired of Christians saying, I don't know what I've done for God that He might do for me. God said, you don't know what you have done for me that I might do for you? Explain why you breathe 12 to 15 times a minute. What did you do that I might do that one for you? Count your heartbeat. Physiologic man, 72 beats a minute. At rest. What did you do that I may give you one heartbeat? Hey. Did you not read in your Bible that if I gave you my only begotten son, how much more will I freely, everybody say freely, will I freely give you all things? My favorite man in the Bible in this regard is Jabez. And Jabez was called Jabez because Jabez meant sorrow and his mother had him in pain. And then Jabez was a very honorable man. How did he become like that? He was a respectable man in the society. He said, because once he knelt down and he prayed. He said, Lord, oh that you will bless me indeed and make my name great and extend my boundaries. Give me, there's one Bible I was reading. He said, give me plenty of land and protect me from evil so that I will not be harmed. And the Bible says, and God gave Jabez everything he asked for. You know what Christians want to do? Oh, that you will give me seed to sow. Because you want me to beat somebody? We must get this one clear. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. What am I preaching to you again today? Everything you are getting in life is because Jesus paid for it. That's what's called righteousness. Righteousness is the stamp of approval. And what is our pathway into righteousness? It's called faith. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is the only reason why God says we are okay, why we can come boldly into His throne of grace and receive anything is because we have believed. And what is that faith about? That Jesus died and rose again for you and for me. That's what it's about. Let me say it to you again. You come to God's throne through any other way, you are looking for trouble. In fact, you know, everybody has an assignment. Even the thief has an assignment. You know, one of the jobs of a thief? To prove to you that this world is not your home. The Bible says they break in and steal. So don't lay up treasure on the earth. Satan has an assignment. You know his assignment? To go and stay on the way by which men pass into the throne of God by the gospel of works so that he can fight them and conquer them. So they won't come back there again. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it goes to wait there. Because this one, I get my power. The other way, I don't get power there. Anybody that comes by the precious blood of Jesus, what can I do to him? What can I do to her? Once they show up by the precious blood of Jesus, I had to run because before my angel. Are you getting my point? I see they pour acid for your body. You don't want acid poured on your body. Not face, so. You know the one you see on television, her face. Imagine they bathe a man with acid. You know what it will be like? And Satan understands his relationship with the blood of Christ is like that. It's an acidic pathway. So he doesn't stay there where he has confidence to block prayer. Regularly. That one now where people they come with works. These are the things I have done. Satan said, good. Guys, check. There are things he hasn't done. And you see the demons, they will line up with their checklist. These are the ones he did not do.
They taught him when he was young that read your Bible, pray every day. There's one demon that has been following you around. Every day you did not read your Bible or pray, he has checked it. They brings you a serious accusation. When you went, I said, where did you go? I want to go and pray. What? They start singing to you. Read your Bible, pray every day. And as you are hearing the song, condemnation starts. Ha! Last week we were so busy in the office, I did not read my Bible for 3 straight days. Mm-hmm. If you want to grow, that means I have not grown. Oh God, do you still want to pray? If God catches you, are you serious? Did he notice? Why do you think I'm here? He noticed. I was sent to go and warn you not to come back here. Then you go back. No prayer. Then you pray regularly for 2 weeks. Then you show up. That is reading your Bible and praying every day. You have a serious matter. That's not the praying every day. You have been praying your prayer every day. Now you want to come and address your serious matter as you're approaching. One tells you, hey, yes, I don't know. Oh, Lionka is not back. That one is Yoruba one. That's what they say for English. Say, turn your foot to one side. Don't kill that ant. You know, did you hear that when you were young? Jonathan, you don't know that one. See, so you have been walking recklessly, clean all the ants on the road. Did they harm you? Did you not hear that St. Francis called them brother ant? Hey! Then you turn around again. You're going to sweep your pathway as you are going on the road. Lest you go and kill an ant. Then some people start doing good, reckless good. You know what they call reckless good? They want to help everybody on the road. Every offering that is called, they are there. They give their whole salary, then go and borrow to give. You think they love God. They don't love God, don't love anybody, don't love themselves, don't love the person they are giving to. They are just trying to acquire the confidence to go and pray that prayer. And they will never get it. Because there are like 2,000 demons on their case alone. Each one you dispense with good works, the next one comes up. And say, amen, hallelujah. Yesterday when you were crossing the road, why did the car almost jam you? You were looking at a woman. You were looking at a woman. Then you remember true. Did you not hear that if your eye will cause you to sin, pull it out? It is better that you go into heaven, eternal life with one eye, than to go into hellfire with both eyes. And so, Pari, which ophthalmologist go handle this one? Look, and then you finish. You will change your shirt because they will tell you, see, this kind of shirts are giving temptation to women. And if you're a woman, just go and buy boo boo upon boo boo. What is your problem? You want to pray. You just want to ask God for one thing. Exam is coming. By the time you finish arranging, you don't fail. Because the exam has come and gone. You have not yet prayed. The Lord is good. The Bible says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Why do you choose the path that demons have lined up with accusations? There is one that they don't come near. It's the path lined by the blood of Jesus. Only people of faith tread on that one. Are you getting my point? The blood of Jesus constantly cleanses them of all iniquity. I hope you get what I'm saying. Righteousness in Christianity, this is fundamental Christianity, is by faith. So, what did I call it? By faith. I was saying something earlier. Let me get back to it. And that's the fact that if you have been sowing seeds so that you will reap tomorrow in future and you become prosperous, my bad news, which is actually good news for you today, is that your account is empty. Say, Pastor Banky, you don't know what you are talking about. I do. Say, I know you think you do, but you don't know how much I have sold. Don't worry. The years that the cankerworm ate, because all your gifts have been given to cankerworms, the locust, the palmer worm, the angry worm. Don't worry. God is able to restore them double back to you. So don't be angry. You know what God does not like? People who are stubborn and don't like to be corrected. Because they have gone in a pathway for a long time. And that's a major problem with people. You see a man, he knows the church is going to his own blessing, but he has been there for 50 years. Is it now he's not going to start changing churches? They are going in one. People don't like to be corrected. You are safe. In fact, all you've lost nothing. If when correction comes, you accept it. You've lost nothing. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. He makes things that were dead, he makes them alive. If, listen, you've been, listen, let me tell you, let me give you a practical example. You have been building ministry, all right, or a business in a particular way for 10 years. And you've made a progress of, let's say, let's just give us ourselves a hypothetical chart. Your progress is on level 25 after 10 years of building ministry or building a business. Then one day, the word of correction comes to you after 10 years. You look at 10 years of errors and mistakes, but you don't want to accept it. So you continue that way. Another 10 years, your level will be maybe 50, or you will remain on level 25. Because grace don't expire by that time. Grace tends to expire. Mercy expires when, you know, rebellion sets in. All right? But let us assume you now say, yes, all these ones I have done is nothing. That takes you back to level what? Zero after 10 years. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The progress you make over the next 10 years will make it look as if you have done right for the previous 20 years. Let me say it again. If you will accept correction, the progress you will make, when God gives you the correction, you drop back to level zero. Ministry closes, essentially. Business closes. A new foundation has to be laid. You start again. Then you look back after 20 years. The kind of results that God will give, that is now for another 10 years now, all right? The kind of results that God will give you in the next 10 years, you would think, in fact, people around, this is a problem with copying people. They will think the pathway to this progress is to first do what you did in the first 10 years. That is, you make so much progress, are you getting my point? That you will think you've been doing right, it will appear more like, all right, that you have been doing right for 20 years. That's what it means for God to restore double. Can you see that? It just doubles to cover for the time that you lost. But if you don't accept repentance, if you don't accept correction and repent, I wanted to say, then know for certain that you will surely perish. That's the word of God. People often look at what they have lost. I preached a message. Go and look at one of our old messages titled, Take That Loss. One of the things you must learn in life is how to take loss. You did that business. Yes, it took 18 months and 3 years saving. You know, you save your salary for 3 years, then did the business for 18 months, yet it was a waste of time. You know how 419 people get people? They'll tell you, much to gain, little to lose. You understand my point? One thing I always say to them is that little for me is a matter of faith. I'm willing to lose it. You know, I'm not, that is, don't try and entice me. You have already spent ₦1 million, just put another 50,000 so as to recover the million. Even business will know this. You don't use good money to pursue bad money. One day, a young man helped me buy a car. I had paid him $1.2 million. The car didn't show. Somebody now called me one day. He said, what happened is that this happened, this happened. All he needs is ₦50,000. Then the car goes show. I said, he doesn't know who he's dealing with. I said, this man has written off the $1.2 million. Forget it. I said, forget it. He said, no, sir. People were begging me that, no, I should believe that. All he needs, once he gets that extra, was it 40? They said 40. Then the car will arrive. I said, listen, for me, it is 40,000 I'm about to lose. I'm not trying to recover 1.2. Leave it. I refuse to. I learned the principle that time. That if a money is bad, it's bad. I'm not going to use good one to pursue it. Eventually, after plenty talk, go here. Then I said, okay. I should come and see where the car is. I got there. Fine, this is the car that, okay. He was owing somebody. Somebody seized the car from him. So I now paid the person off. Because I didn't believe them.